Chris Whittingham, Alex Dono here on WQAM. Dono will be here until 10 p.m. this evening. I'll be departing a little bit earlier than that.
I'll miss you.
I appreciate that, Dono. Thank you very much. It makes me feel welcomed and appreciated. But there is a massive story in Miami sports last night. There was a controversy that involved many of the things that I hate about baseball, and we're going to talk about them right now with Eli Sussman, who is the managing editor of Fishstripes. There was a brawl. There was a throwing of a baseball at a person because he's too good at his job. Ronald Acuna is too good at baseball, so we have to throw something at him. And joining us right now on WQM is Eli Sussman, who covers the Marlins for Fishstripes, which is the SB Nation blog covering the Marlins, and he joins us now on the Toyota Hollywood Hotline. Eli, thanks for doing it.
Hey, Chris. Pleasure to be on with both of you guys.
So can you explain, for those that didn't watch the Marlins game, why did Jose Ureña throw at Ronald Acuña in the Battle of the Enyas?
Yeah, well, I mean, just as you said, I hate it as much as you do, the intentional part of this. I mean, the background is that Acuña is a sensation. Like, people saw this coming, too. He was a consensus top prospect in baseball entering the season, and he's been, like, hotter than ever during the series against the Marlins entering last night. He'd homered in five straight games. He'd homered four times in three games just against the Marlins. And Ureña has this history of being in really towing that line between being intimidating and just being kind of an egomaniacal idiot.
That's one way to put it.
Because there is a strategy behind it where he has excellent fastball velocity. When he throws it inside to right-handed batters, he has a lot of success with it. And if you believe him, he was just trying to throw a good quality first pitch to set up in a bat against this player that was unstoppable. But the other side of it, and what seems to be the obvious reality, is that he didn't want to deal with Acuña, and he hit him intentionally, and so he's just been suspended by Major League Baseball just in the past few minutes, a six-game suspension, which seems a little bit light, considering he has a little bit of a track record with this, but we'll see if he appeals the suspension, probably not, and he'll be back on the mound next week.
So in terms of, and this is kind of culture of baseball stuff, but in terms of how it's been received, it seems like the only person who's on Ureña's side is Keith Hernandez, the analyst for the Mets.
And I think David Sampson stuck up
right
for him.
Oh,
as
that's
well.
Right. Yeah. He's on Twitter and doing some work for CBS now as well. But it strikes me as so odd that this is the way that you deal with greatness, right? You deal with greatness by throwing fast baseballs at their back. Like, it's just so odd to me that that's Jose Ureña's recourse.
Yeah. Like I said, it's something that it's rooted in a little bit of a strategy where over the last 2 years, he has hit as many batters as anybody in baseball, even pitchers that have thrown a lot more than he has. And a handful of them have been in this situation where it seems really obviously intentional. Most of them haven't been intentional. It's just the fact that he's a guy that doesn't command his pitches as well as he should. But what's tricky is trying to differentiate the player from the team. Because there are certain teams that going up all through the coaching staff and into management, they have this belief that you should retaliate this way or you should defend yourself this way against a more embarrassing outcome like a home run. As far as we know, the Marlins are against that, and it's really just Ureña acting on his own in this situation. The reason why it's still happening is that Ureña, in this situation, when someone does this to start a game, they're very rarely ejected. Usually what happens is the umpires will warn a player the first time this happens in any particular game. And I think that's the only reason why he felt like compelled to do this, is because he was sure that he would stay in the game and get off with a warning. And, I mean, that's really the change that we'd need to see, is that officiating is cracking down on it at first glance and not letting anybody off the hook, not giving anyone the benefit of the doubt. If you just kick a guy off when a ball slips out of his hands or when he does it intentionally, if you're just more forceful with it instead of having those warnings leading up to it, then maybe you'll see the numbers cracking down.
Well, and Eli, you wrote a very compelling piece about this for Fishstripes. You know, Ureña, has been now officially punished by Major League Baseball, six-game suspension, but how should the Marlins handle this guy?
Well, what I was advocating for is something more severe, where this is an organization that under new leadership, you know, Derek Jeter being the face of that, they've been insisting that they're putting more value on the intangibles, on being a high character guy, on being a good teammate, and on being someone that teammates can trust. And with this kind of action, and it's not just this action, but just the history over the past couple of years, I've found a handful of examples where it goes after the best player on another team early in the game. And in a lot of those cases, it really seemed that based on where the pitch went in the situation, you had reason to believe that it was intentional. So this is a guy that just repeatedly is not doing something that's conducive to team success or his own success. And so my stance is that he's probably not a guy that you wanted to count on having on your team going forward to take action either at the end of the season or even sooner to get him away from a clubhouse that has so many rookies, one of the youngest teams in the league, that's going to have a lot of young players next year. And this is a player in Ureña that's at a point in his career where he's going to get a significant raise in his salary going into next year. And even if on the merits of his performance, he might be worth it, and he's having a very inconsistent year. But I don't know if that baggage is really worth it. And it would be a strong message from the team that if they're putting a value on these intangibles, then Ureña is not really a guy that fits in.
Has there been any significant update today on Acuña's his health, his situation now?
Yeah, he's doing just fine because while the Marlins are off today, the Braves have another game against a different opponent, and he's in the starting lineup, and he's batting first in the starting lineup. So that's going to be like one of the more intriguing at-bats anywhere in baseball, is seeing what he does in that at-bat and see. So what happened is that baseball made it clear that he had this streak of homering in five straight games, and even though he technically played, air quotes, in yesterday's game because he didn't actually get to have an at-bat, that streak is still intact. So people are going to want to see if he homers for a sixth straight game.
Well, that and that for, sort of, I don't mean to root against the Marlins, but I feel like that would be the better narrative is that, you know, someone tried to injure him. And I mean, so how far would you go in describing that? Describing as dirty, you mentioned the word intentional. Like, are we dealing with someone who tried to injure Ronald Acuña last night?
I mean, all we could do is take an educated guess because, again, he really just blurs that line totally between doing something strategic and doing something malicious. And it's not to say that he's an evil player, but all the signs pointed to that being with bad intentions. And thankfully, he didn't hit him that high up on his body. He hit him in the elbow. And I guess when this conversation takes the more like severe turn is when we see guys get hit in the head in the way that when Stanton was with the Marlins a few years ago, when he got hit in the face. And we worry about not just these guys getting healthy for baseball, but getting healthy for anything else, because the way velocity in baseball is higher than it's ever been, where Ureña threw that pitch like 97 miles an hour, and that's becoming the norm around the whole game. So that's the big concern, is that when anybody gets hit by a pitch, now that they're being thrown harder than ever and there's only so many padding that you can use on your body while you're actually at bat, you worry about what could happen if someone doesn't know where it's going.
We're joined here by Eli Sussman of Fish Stripes, which is the Marlins blog on SB Nation. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, at Fish Stripes or at Real Eli. So for me, the thing that is kind of bothersome to me is that this feels endemic to the game of baseball. And I feel like people like us, you know, who are younger and still, you know, watch baseball, I feel like that sentiment of this is how you sort out problems is dying amongst its fans, but it doesn't feel like it's dying amongst its players. And when you see other people come to the defense of Jose Ureña, I think it does kind of highlight that players still view this as an effective tactic for dealing with issues, throwing baseballs at people, even if it's not you pimped out your trot or you were showboating. It's just, I think you're too good, so I'm going to hit you. It's just, I feel like that tactic is still welcome within the game, even though the fans, like even myself, I would lean towards the Marlins. I'm not going to say I'm a giant Marlins fan, but I watch that and I go, I don't want my team to be doing that. This is stupid. And that seems to be a growing sentiment, but not within teams or front offices or players.
Yeah. There's a couple different issues at play. One of them is the broadcasters, the people that actually call the games. A lot of them, pretty much all of them, former players. And so they're still around having in front of a microphone, and some of them, like Keith Hernandez with SNY covering the Mets, they're still advocating for it because it was more part of the game when they were on the field. And all those people in those broadcast booths still carry just an enormous influence on the fans following the game. And another one comes back to what baseball is doing to punish these guys, and the fact that the standard for punishing what seems to be intentional hit by pitches hasn't really changed a lot, where despite all the outrage, like there's as much outrage after this hit by pitch because of the player involved in Acuna that you've seen all season and probably for the past several seasons. But yet Urania has only published punished for 6 games because that's kind of what the standard is. The standard in baseball for punishments given out by Major League Baseball are just a handful of games for the offending pitcher. The bigger ones you see and the more severe punishments are when there's a big fight afterwards. So, I mean, even though the bench is cleared and the teams shoved each other a little bit, there was no actual melee going on and no blood spilled and no serious injuries. Otherwise, those are what the larger suspensions have been historically. So it's really down on the sport itself and the executives within the commissioner's office that if the fans are really evolving on this, and I agree with you, I think they are. If the fans are evolving on this, then really the game, the sport itself should evolve with it and set standards that align with common sense.
You know, Eli, I know that public perception on the current Marlins ownership group won't really turn a corner until the team hopefully someday starts really winning. Then people will come around. But you're so plugged into this team. What sort of feedback have you been getting over the last couple of months about Jeter and about the organization? Are some of those hard feelings to really start the season dying down at all? Are they stronger than ever? What's the public perception like for these guys?
I think it's certainly improving because it honestly couldn't have gotten much worse from where it started.
Yeah,
those first couple months during the offseason, not just the baseball moves that they made, but a lot of the PR surrounding the baseball moves and the PR surrounding the non-baseball moves. It couldn't have been much worse in that department. So it had nowhere to go but up. The team is making a lot of right moves in public relations now and in the community. And a lot of the press that has come out about the ownership during the season has been very positive. The latest one was from ESPN, Jerry Krasnick, just a few days ago, really profiling everything that Jeter is doing, but also all the executives in his inner circle and what they're doing to completely reinvent the way the minor league system is managed, the way that players of both Hispanic and American descent within the organization are communicating with each other, the relationship between the executives and the players directly. And I think people are buying into that. They're not buying the tickets to see this current team at the moment because they're going through, this is really the biggest slump they've been in during this last place season. But one of the critical factors is going to be in a couple years when their improved farm system starts maturing, whether this ownership group is going to spend money around them on free agents or acquiring veterans via trade to actually make them a competitive team. So I guess people really can't come around completely on that until some of these prospects grow into stars, which has not happened yet. That's only been a few months. Or until this ownership shows a willingness to do what it takes to build a competitive roster.
Have you seen enough growth in terms of the players that they've acquired and the moves that they've already made or internal development to feel like there is that Astros-like trajectory that they're going to end up in 2 or 3 years' time being one of the better teams in the league based off of what they're doing now?
It's been kind of hit or miss. One of the things that's been enjoyable is that a lot of the guys who weren't frontline prospects and a lot of the guys who were already in the farm system from the previous management, a lot of those guys have surprised. The fact that they signed this guy, Trevor Richards, out of independent ball, in the Midwest a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden he's their most reliable starting pitcher in the major leagues, that's a big win for a guy that was completely undrafted. The fact that middle-range prospects like Brian Anderson has turned into the second-best player on the team behind just JT Realmuto, and now they have him on pad for a while longer. But, a lot of the big names that they acquired via trade, like Lewis Brinson, has had his struggles. and a couple guys that arrived with him are still in the minor league system, and they've been inconsistent. So what's going to be really pivotal for them is how their new draft class pans out, because it's been really encouraging how their top draft picks have done in just the 2 months since they took them, most of them high schoolers. And then what's going to be even bigger is how they do in next year's draft, because the bright side of this terrible month they're having, where just off the top of my head, they've won twice in August, and we're already pretty deep into August.
Wow. Very deep.
The fact that they've had this big total collapse on the field means that all of a sudden they're looking pretty good for draft position next year, where they have a good shot at being in the top three with where they pick at the top of the draft and then in every round after that. So that's where they're really going to have an impact and a chance to they'll be able to choose from the cream of the crop at the top of the draft. And so those are the guys that might be the stars that lead them when we talk about the 2020s and actually putting that full roster together in the majors.
Eli Sussman, you check him out on Twitter, at RealEli, and again on FishStripes.com, which is the SB Nation blog for the Miami Marlins. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Eli Sussman. The Marlins, by the way, are 2-12 in the month of August.
And wow,
it's,
brilliant.
And it's actually one of those things where, so I have, like, notifications set for, like, when games start and when games end from like, the
Yeah,
from,
I've got those, too, the, and from, I kind of want to turn them off because they're annoying as
well,
hell.
Well, no, but it's twice a game. Like, yeah. I don't have, like, every run scored.
I don't have every run scored, but I do have, like, any time, Inter scores a goal, I'm probably watching it anyway. I get a notification.
Right.
Like, I get all this, like, game-by-game stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to turn off all those notifications.
Okay, but I kind of like it because it's really the only way that I follow the Marlins anymore, because it's not like I'm watching their games.
Good point.
But, so, I mean, you could probably follow the Marlins when you're doing the night show. You just put the game
on.
Absolutely. And just kind of, like, look at the
score.
I
miss a lot of the details, but I look up at the score.
So,
oh, my God, we're losing 5-1.
But like, the Marlins, I get notifications, and in May and June, it was like, this is going to sound grim, but I feel like I got too many where the Marlins had won. It's like, no, that's not how this is supposed to work. Like, this team's supposed to be dreadful. They're winning too many games. They're only like 10 games under 500.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't that far off of the Nationals. It's like, no, that's not how this is supposed to work. Like, you're supposed to, like, lose every game so that the Marlins get the best draft pick. In terms of drafting position, the Marlins right now sit fourth, level with the San Diego Padres. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think the Marlins are bad, they're 48-75.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles are 36-85.
Mm.
I don't even think on purpose. That's staggering. That is staggeringly bad. They've won 29.8% of their games.
Jeez.
But so that's the Marlins. The Battle of the Enyas was the major talking point in baseball.
And I
last
knew it
night.
Would happen to me. It only happened to me once, but I knew I was going to mix up the names just because.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it happened to me
right,
once
because,
where I threw out an Acuna when I meant to say an Ureña, and
yeah.
I at least caught it and corrected it.
Mm-hmm.
I may have missed it the other three times.
Enya might be like in terms of Spanish words. Other than occasional, like I'll occasionally do with the Spanish from Spain where they do the TH instead of a Z.
Mm-hmm.
So like yesterday, Lucas Vázquez was playing, or Real Madrid sign right back Odriozola. Like, it's just like
I want to punch you just from hearing you do that. Like, and it's no disrespect to, you know, the people from Spain who actually speak that way. Like, I know you're doing
right.
it just to sound authentic.
That's correct.
And I
just
I
like
punch
earlier,
you.
I intentionally went out of my way to say Gérard Depardieu.
I know,
I wanted to.
Although you say it with like a British accent,
Depardieu.
Like, isn't he French?
Yeah, he's French. No, but I wasn't saying with a British.
I don't know. You sound British.
Gérard Depardieu.
Gérard. The way you say Gérard.
Because you don't say a D.
Oh,
you
that's
don't say
true.
The D.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's Gérard Depardieu.
It's Gérard Depardieu, yeah. Damn it.
No, it's Gérard Depardieu. Chris Whittingham and Dono here on QAM.